I love this microphone because I because there's a sense of dynamic range. Like I can be down like this. I mean, can you hear me what I'm saying? You know, can you do that? But I can also be like, you know, up here and speak in my normal, normal voice.
You talk.
I'll talk.
Talk now.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right.
Are you doing okay? What's this accomplishing?
What do you mean, what's it accomplishing?
You're getting like really close to the microphone.
I am inflating it.
Yeah, it's down your throat, isn't it? I'm still recording.
Great.
Kids, a conversation between brothers featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
Episode 26 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
Thank you so much.
I'm Chris, and you are?
And I'm Cole. We're both Those Damn Ross Kids, and that's the end of the episode. Thanks. Good goodbye.
See ya around.
See ya. No, wait, no, that's not the end of the podcast. Thought we'd do a little bit of housekeeping here at the start. You know, we've had more people listening to the show recently, which is nice, and more people being kind enough to offer feedback. And you know, some of the feedback that's been offered is, why is the show an hour long? Now, we started at a half an hour, but I think we got more confident and we're doing hour long shows now. And I feel that it's pretty consistent. How about you, Chris?
No, I think we're in a good sweet spot with the hour. I think the people just need to, you know, realize that it doesn't take dedicated listening.
It doesn't. No, actually, nope. You know, we'd prefer if you didn't pay an awful lot of attention to us.
Yeah. And then you could listen to it again and again, you know, just
keep on re-downloading those files.
There's always something new. I mean, you can go out, maybe grab yourself like a $10, you know, pack of earbuds or something and just put one in. Then, you know, I don't know, go back and put your car in park or feed your kid because it's screaming.
Yeah. Feed your kid. What are you doing listening to podcasts when your kid is so hungry? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like a happy meal. I mean, it's not great, but I don't think it's too much to ask.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it still breastfeeding if you put the happy meal on a breast?
If you just kind of like smush it up on there?
Yeah, if you just, you know, you just put one patty on the nipple. Just a little trail of ketchup over to the other one.
Little bit of sweet and sour sauce nestled in the cleavage.
Yeah, just a little treasure map. And the pathways are drawn with ketchup and mustard, and you'd be very, very surprised where you find the pickle.
Is mommy feeding the kid or me?
Oh, dear God, I hope both.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so I guess what we're saying is, you know, our feelings won't be hurt if you know, you're driving in the car and yelling at people, as I often do while listening to podcasts. God, I'd be shocked if I tallied up how many podcasts I listen to in a given week. It's
how many colleagues you listen to.
How many colleagues? How many people on the fine, like the Gooncast network? Oh, you know, the Dead Idea of Valhalla, that's good.
How many unpaid coworkers?
So, hey, do you have any stories for me, Chris?
I have some stories.
Ooh, cool. A lot of it's
topical, though.
Well, okay. I mean,
we had some stuff happen this week.
A little bit.
Some things. Some spontaneous celebrations.
Yeah, I'd say.
Over the new scent of Tide detergent. I think it was just Bin Laden's death.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, that fresh breeze is pretty badass.
Maybe it was both.
Yeah.
Maybe marketing teams need to get together like game plans to go out and try to sell shit to flash mobs whenever stuff happens around the world. Maybe that's possible. Maybe, like, you know, you just show up to the flash mob for Bin Laden's death and they're like, how would you like to sign up for the new anti-terrorist MasterCard? you get a free towel.
It's kind of like those decks of playing cards that have the terrorist names on them, except these are, you know, credit cards, and there's a different one with each one.
Yeah, Bicycle loves it.
More of a Hoyle man myself.
Oh, well,
yeah. You know, I'm, you know, different schools of thought.
You and I are just too different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, but we maintain this relationship despite our fundamental differences.
Mm-hmm. So, but I would consider both of us patriotic, though, right?
Yeah, too. Yeah, I think that.
careful! You're going a little red there.
You're watching me like a hawk. No,
you're kind of like, well, to a yes, I 100%. There is no extent that I'm not patriotic.
Imperialism? No, that's not imperialism. This is nationalism. I don't know. I can get behind any ism so long as there's an America fuck yeah behind it. But you know, whatever. Yeah. No, I'd say that, you know, the inner redneck Yahoo in all of us came out that night.
Well, it came out a lot in Springfield, Ohio. Here this past week as well. An Ohio hotel has been fending off angry phone calls because a broken rope on its flagpole led some people to think that the business was mourning the death of Osama bin Laden.
The flag was at half mast.
The rope left the U.S. flag stuck at half staff for several days outside of a Hampton Inn in Springfield in Western Ohio. The assistant general manager says that phone calls poured in from people assuming the management supported bin Laden. One man even threatened to cut down the flagpole. The manager is quoted as saying the town is obviously patriotic to every extent.
Wow. That is our state.
That is the real deal right there.
That is our state, Chris, and this is our country.
Red state, blue state. Mm-mm.
Yeah, just everybody mind their flags. I mean, I know when I heard the news, I went out and I put up like five flags on the one pole. Yeah, it's called, I mean, it's, you know, it's an obscure way to fly. You know, you have the flag upside down for the death of a serviceman, half mast for a memorial, something like that. And five flags, that's the multi-ball modifier.
Mm-hmm. that's how it works.
Yeah, that's just how it works.
I don't make the rules.
I don't. Well, I mean, you know, so let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the response to bin Laden's death. I mean, some people, you know, they have different things. And I think that, you know, there's a yin and a yang to the universe, Chris. And I have a couple of things here that are reversals of what happened when people found out about bin Laden and 9/11. Like a Washington middle school teacher, his name's Gary Little, nearly 10 years ago when he saw what happened on 9/11, he made a vow that he would not shave his beard until the person who was responsible for it was caught. Now, just this past week, you know, as we all know, as we just, you know, been discussed here, he was able to shave his suspiciously bin Laden-esque beard after America won the war on terror forever. Now, he admitted that he'd given up hope on ever being able to shave the beard, having completely lost faith within the first 6 months. In fact, the beard itself even started as an accident, as the result of being glued to the TV coverage for days and days on end. But it's become a consistent reminder, or it had become a consistent reminder, that bin Laden needed to be stopped, and it was a constant reminder of the death and destruction of that fateful day. Now, I have to admire his dedication, his I would even call it integrity. But Chris, a beard should not be grown out of hate. It should be grown out of either love or apathy, much like mine are.
Why can't you grow a pube beard?
Me?
No, any. I mean, I can.
What do you mean?
I mean, how could somebody grow a beard like that? And then why do I never have to trim my pubes? Why is that?
You can grow a beard that goes all the way to the ground. You can, I suppose you can braid your pubic hair too. But
I guess I don't know.
you can do Gimli pubes.
Jeez.
But that's right, isn't it?
Like I'm going to dread my pubes.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, Rasta man. Dick.
But, you know, that's right.
It's a Rasta Dick summer. That's what it is.
I mean, I've only ever, like, trimmed up once in my life, but, like, as a general rule, of course, I don't. I mean, I probably, you know, shave about, you know, once every 2 weeks or so.
I guess my point is that would be the only thing that would impress me more than that guy's commitment.
Oh, like if a person grew a pube beard that, like, you know, he could like tie up in a,
he could just dry it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a ponytail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
But he is kind of weird.
Just a little bit.
It's a little bit weird.
It's a little bit. I like that. You know, I like the idea of a playoff beard like they do in the NHL. Ceremonial facial hair. That's a thing I can get behind. That gets my stamp of approval. I don't know about yours.
Yeah, I have two stories about weird people.
Ooh, nice. I like weird people.
They both involve animals and people. I'm gonna let you choose which animal.
Am I about to be sad?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm gonna let you choose which animal to go first. Okay.
All right.
The chicken or the goat?
We all know that the chicken came second. So let's do the goat first.
All right. The West Virginia police have arrested a 19-year-old South Charleston, West Virginia man accused of kidnapping and sexually assaulting and slaying a young pygmy goat while wearing nothing but women's undergarments. Neighbors came knocking at the door, and he told them, "Hey, don't come in. I'm naked." Being nosy neighbors, they opened the door anyway. He was just standing there with his pants down, and there was blood everywhere. The man ran out of the house and into the nearby woods. When the police arrived at the scene, the goat was laying dead in a pool of blood on the floor, and the small animal was clad in only a pink collar, had blood oozing from a wound to its neck, and a pornographic magazine photo laid on the bed nearby.
Okay.
All right. So the police are just poking around, and all of a sudden, the half-naked man wearing female panties and a bra came out of the woods and turned himself in. He told them as an excuse, "I was using bath salts," which is, I guess, a dangerous new recreational drug, reportedly giving you the effects of a methamphetamine or cocaine. The reason that I thought that this story was funny, beyond the fact that it's really weird.
It's, yeah, just like straight batshit.
Is the police spokesman comments in the summary of the story, at least. And he said he would like to make it clear that the crime of bestiality occurs everywhere and not just in his state.
What state is this? I'm sorry.
He's in West Virginia. He's quoted as saying, "Many people might not think that it is common to West Virginia, but it's common to every state in the union."
Then he looks into the camera and says, "Someone could be fucking your pet right now.
As we speak." I'm looking at you, North Dakota.
So far as I know, bestiality is legal in Washington State.
Yeah. Just raw. Well,
so I mean, let's have a discussion about this bath salts thing, because it's something that I know that we've spoken about privately, but probably not on the show. I thought that. So is this like the drug craze that's sweeping the nation?
I guess so.
From coast to coast, people are huffing up on some Bath and Body Works. BNBW for short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
BBWs. I mean, it's just BDWs. BBWs are out there just wrecking our children's lives.
Yeah. Some Sunripe and Raspberry. Just death.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Yeah. I don't know. It's cheap. I guess it's fun. I don't know. But a lot of people are doing some crazy stuff on it. It's not even.
I just wonder how much of it's an excuse. I don't know. I can't imagine that that this over the counter item could cause people to, you know, do something which like is a popular conception about drug using Satanists, which is, you know, I'm gonna murder and torture a goat while sexually pleasuring myself. And by the way, this person, you know, he needs to commit to the illusion, because if he's going to involve a goat in his masturbation, he can't have pornography on the side. That's kind of like saying I'm a gay dude, but I need to have a woman in the room to get off.
How do we know that the pornographic image isn't of a man fucking a goat?
You're right.
Like, maybe it's like an instruction manual. Maybe he's like, "Oh, so this is how you mount him."
See, I was just imagining, you know, a hustler or something, but
just another difference between you and me.
Well, tell me the chicken story.
All right, this involves a woman and a chicken.
Oh no.
And a man and a woman and a chicken. So yeah, men are still bad. Jennifer Espinoza of Dallas, Texas left her apartment to take her daughter to school. She left a frozen chicken in her kitchen sink to thaw. When she returned around 7:45 a.m., she noticed the window to her bathroom was broken. She says, "Once I opened the door, I saw this guy sitting in the sink, fully naked, eating raw chicken."
Okay.
The man ignored her shouts to get out of her apartment and continued chowing down on the bird. When the woman ran outside to call for help, the man reportedly locked her out of her house. When police arrived on the scene, The man refused to follow the officer's instructions, so they tased him and arrested him. He had like four other warrants and all kinds of other problems, but there's no backstory as to, maybe you should think about that. Maybe you should think about what has to happen in your life. So like, just close your eyes and then open them. Okay.
Okay.
And you, when you open them, you're sitting in a sink eating raw chicken and you're butt ass naked. What happened when you closed your eyes? What happened in your life? I'm talking about you personally. How did you end up there, Cole?
Chris,
how did you get to Texas?
You live in Cincinnati, Cole.
Are you not there? In trouble?
You don't belong there. You don't belong in Texas. Okay, Chris, I'll tell you what happened when I, closed my eyes. A series of easily justified decisions that in the aggregate, I think he was just surprised as them. I think I would be just as surprised as that woman. He wasn't yelling at her and locking the door to antagonize her. He was just as confused. Because, one second he's saying, maybe I'm going to get a tattoo. And then just boom, there we go. For want of a nail, Chris, I'm squatting in a woman's kitchen, eating raw chicken. Was he pleasuring himself?
No, there was no sexual element to this.
Ah, damn it.
You might have been.
Okay.
So in your scenario, you could Chris, be doing that.
So you're going to tell me that a man is naked in a woman's kitchen eating raw food and it's not a sexual thing? He was erect.
There was something the matter with him, yeah. He actually got caught up because he broke the bathroom window and then crawled in over broken glass.
Yeah.
The carpet between the bathroom and the kitchen had to be replaced because he bled so much. So he was bleeding while eating raw chicken.
Can we change the law, Chris? Can we change the suggestion? Because we've already established that there are no laws. They're just suggestions. If a person wants it enough as evidenced by the desperation of the act, can we just make it legal? Like he obviously wanted that chicken enough to endanger his future. So let him have it. Cause I guarantee you he wanted that more than, that woman wanted it.
How much do you love me? Would you break into the neighbor's house and sit in their kitchen sink and eat raw chicken?
Yeah. Pleasuring yourself to pictures of goats.
Just trading off between a raw chicken and a huff in a bag full of oven cleaner.
God, I know I say it a lot, and I know it sounds like a dismissive way to end a story, but man, life's complicated because it really was. I'm sure that that on its surface there is a long chain of very easily, at least self-justified decisions that led to that. Were there substances involved, or was this just a profoundly unbalanced man?
It's just a case of crazy.
Now. I say, just a, did I just say a, meow just a, instead of wow? I'm sorry.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know why you did that.
I don't know either.
I mean, I know why you would intentionally do that, but I don't know why you would unintentionally do that.
Hey, have you ever seen the movie Super Troopers? No. I can tell you.
Let's recite it.
from beginning to end.
God, this is a funny podcast.
This is a really, really funny podcast. Little long, though. It's about 90 minutes long.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it has Jay Chandrasekhar in it, which is very odd.
I didn't think that a syrup chugging contest would translate to audio, but it does.
No. Well, can I continue the animal stories, Chris?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna set the scene here. An Atlanta man is leaving a coffee shop with his buddies. I assume that they were, he says they were there working. So let's presume they were working on a screenplay or something. And then the man comes back into the coffee shop where his friend is in horror. And he says, "There are frogs in my car." Now, the friend, later talking to the press and I assume to the authorities, says, "My initial reaction was, oh, okay, there's going to be some kind of small frog in there." But I get to the car, and there are the biggest bullfrogs I've ever seen in my life, just laying there, motionless, three of them, stacked on top of each other. Now, the frogs were laying in the convertible car and appeared to be beaten and bloody. It's not believed that the victim was targeted in any way, and that it was a random prank, yet still, the man has more questions than answers. Who goes around carrying a large freshly beaten bullfrog just around this town? let alone three of them. Where did they come from? And who does that to a frog? Now, Chris, this made it sound like random, you know, violence, nonsensical stuff. But do you want to know what it sounds like to me?
What does it sound like, Cole?
The biblical end of the world.
Only three of them. Come on.
Come on. But okay.
Jesus has been saving energy for 2,000 years. He's going to come on with an apocalypse that's going to be thousands, millions of frogs, not Chris, three.
I just think this is a prelude, okay? Because, you know, before the dam breaks, what happens?
Foreshadowing?
And they shall be drowned in frogs. No, you know what happens? There's a couple of cracks, then a trickle. You know, Jesus, he takes a lot of his ideas from his dad. And, you know, there's the whole, you know, river of blood. We talked about that last week. Then there's the frogs, the locusts, you know, I think those are due back here sometime pretty soon. The plague, the pestilence. Oh, did I tell you that they found a plague victim in New Mexico? Yeah, that's right. 58-year-old man in the hospital for a plague. I mean, he's going to be okay. Like bubonic plague.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the one that killed like 1/3 of the known population of Earth. It's happening, okay? I mean, and you're the firstborn, so I mean, I think you're fucked, but
one plague, three frogs. Are you telling me that I'm going to feel the same about the end times as I did about like a big snowstorm and a snow day at school?
Yeah, I think like
it's coming. It's coming.
It's good. It's happening. The weatherman says that we're going to get like 12 inches.
Don't have to wake up tomorrow.
12.
Don't have to go to work. I'm going to be judged by my maker.
12 inches of what? 12 inches of frogs.
Meanwhile, boop, boop, boop. Shit. Hey, Chris, that's a bummer.
Do you have a story for me?
What's that?
You have a story for me?
I have some mommy stories.
Ooh, mommy. I like mommy.
Yeah, some mommy
stories. Well, Mother's Day is, tomorrow, at least when we're recording this, it'll be like a while ago when the listener's listening to it.
Mother's Day was 2 days ago, Cole.
Mother's Day was 2 days ago. Okay. I had a listener ask me, do we think that Mother's Day is a legitimate holiday, or should we call it Thank God I Didn't Have an Unwanted Pregnancy This Year Day?
I think that it's...
It can be both.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm not a mom day.
Congratulations on your amazing promiscuity. I don't know.
You shut your whore mouth about Sasha. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Do that now. We got a couple different faces of moms here.
Ooh.
All right. We have a mother whose 8-year-old daughter brought marijuana to school, prompting an investigation by the sheriff's office and the Department of Children's Services. The girl took what was described as a small amount of marijuana from her jacket and gave it to her teacher and said, "This is some of my mom's weed. It's what mommy puts in blunts. She probably shouldn't get a card." More than likely not.
Hey Chris, will I be crucified if I say that I'm okay with really like little kids, like not little kids, like toddlers or whatever? That's bad. But like if kids about, I'd say like 8 to 11 years old, just like give them weed and let them smoke it.
I do believe that that's probably not correct.
That's not a good thing. Here's my reasoning, right? There are very few things that I did when I was seven to 11 years old that I'm really, you know, still enthusiastic about. And in fact, I stopped doing those things because like, oh, that's little kid stuff. If we properly cast marijuana use as little kid stuff, you know, to be relegated along with Power Rangers and Pokemon, ignoring the Pokemon games on my show,
both of which are more fun on weed.
True dat. But I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it be great if like there were 13-year-olds the year round, like, smoke weed and what? Watch Yo Gabba Gabba burn. I think that would be an effective policy. Just say no. No. Don't just say no. Just say, my little brother does that.
I don't know. You're never gonna be right.
About anything.
No, I just, you're never gonna, you know,
be right about drugs.
No matter how correct you live your life, no matter what, you know, right, true, good decisions you make, mm-hmm. you're never going to, you know, please everybody, and the results aren't always going to be good. Right. And I think that that's probably part of being a parent, and it's part of being a mother. And I have an example of a mom who did all the right stuff.
Okay.
She raised this this girl, her daughter, who was the member of the exclusive high school's Model United Nations team that had placed third at a Harvard competition. Her daughter had a ninth place finish in the 2009 Komen Race for the Cure in fundraising. And she had gained the acceptance into several Ivy League schools on scholarship.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sense another shoe in this.
And before she had the chance to do that, after her mom had raised her up and given her all those opportunities, the one thing her mom wouldn't give her was a car. So the daughter decided that she was going to pistol whip her mom and then at gunpoint force her to buy her a car.
Huh.
Yeah, there's another, you got to go, you know, there's a lot of ways to get that done.
Yeah.
But I guess the point of the matter is she raised her right.
Yeah.
You're not going to put that roadblock in front of me.
You know what? If I want it, I'm going to take it.
Bitch, I will pistol whip you.
Wow.
Yep.
I think that the pistol whip is it's an unsung implement in our lives.
I think it's
I have to respect her willingness to pistol whip her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did that.
That's a thing that she did.
She tore it up.
She, you know, she set her mind to it. She accomplished it. Seriously,
that's she cruel. Did that.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but no matter what, as a parent and especially as a mother, you are going to be a hypocrite.
Oh, most certainly.
And that can be evidenced in the story of Deborah Oberlin, 48-year-old woman who served as the a chapter president for the Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Oh no! Oh,
she
no.
was arrested for drunk driving. Oh, man. She registered in her breath alcohol test a 0.239.
You really have to try to do that.
Yeah, that's like triple the amount.
Yeah.
So,
hey Chris, can I give you one more?
What, mommy?
Well, no, not when we're mommy, but I mean, since we're talking about blood alcohol levels.
Okay.
Well, I mean, for first off, I mean, the second that you say Mothers Against Drunk Driving and hypocrisy, like you know that's going to happen. It's kind of like my firm belief that every Republican senator is out there diddling little boys, but it's true. But no, I'm gonna tell you something about blood alcohol levels, because you remember last week, you know, we asked, or we postulated, like what's the drunkest that a person could be, and that was after, you know, we told a story about a woman in Ohio whose blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. Now we thought that was pretty high. Turns out that's child play, because a 20-year-old woman in California beat that twice over. Actually, the police were monitoring a major thoroughfare for drunk drivers on Cinco de Mayo, which was this past Thursday. And along comes this 20-year-old woman who blew a 0.30. That is over four times the legal limit. Said the officer, "I've never seen anyone that drunk." He has no clue how the woman was even able to function at that point, because a person with a 0.30 blood alcohol level will be, quote, in a stupor, the person with that can suddenly pass out at any time. That level of intoxication, Chris, approaches surgical anesthesia, and levels of only a couple points higher than that have been known to be fatal.
Should I be clapping?
I think we should. Let's give that a... Now, I mean, we should make it clear, we're not clapping that she was driving. She done fucked up at that point. probably shouldn't do that. It's good, you know, good policy not to. That's determination, because you know, you're not just, you know, just like, oh yeah, that's a big number or whatever. But to get to that, you really have to circumvent your body's natural response. I mean, drinking is a really efficient symptom, because before your body has enough in it to die, there's a natural defense, which is sleepy time. You know, you're either going to throw it up or pass out. Your body literally stops itself from drinking too much.
It's like people who can regulate their body temperature, you can regulate your blood alcohol level.
Exactly. Yeah.
Straighten up.
Straighten up, get it together. Right.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, some people can drink more than other people.
Oh, people do stupid stuff. People do stupid stuff when they drink.
But 20 years old. Wow. Yeah, you're right. People do stupid stuff when they drink, like podcast.
But... Yeah, they do that too. There's this lady named Samantha Dieter. She's a Florida woman who's created an iPhone app to cut down on embarrassing drunken text messages. The app is named Textalizer.
Okay.
It has a user. The user makes a forbidden list of phone contacts that are likely targets of drunk texts. If the user tries to send a text to one of those numbers, he or she has to go through a series of games to send a text. Fail the games and the text doesn't get sent. 12 hours later, the user will be asked if he or she still wants to send the message.
Oh, that is a really good idea.
Yeah, I think so.
No, that's like stupidly good. There's a Gmail plugin or like Labs feature that asks you to answer math questions after a certain time of day. I think it's like drunk mail or mail goggles or something like that. I think that deserves applause right there, because that's a
yeah. I think it would be better if it was like an automated drunk text. Like, that way you could just focus all your attention on drinking.
Yeah, I don't have to take like a minute to go over here and tell my ex how much I'd like to bang her right now, you know?
That's, yeah, exactly. You just, all you really do is you choose from one of four predetermined moods of the evening.
Yeah.
Horny, and then you just, angry. it's automated fishing. That's all it is.
Okay. So horny, angry, unintelligible, and
dopey.
Dopey. Like dopey, like woo.
No, like the Disney character.
Oh, like the Disney. Okay, I'd rather be Doc. Doc was pretty cool because he had like the Doc McDonald's toy for the re-release had a little diamond. That was pretty neat.
God knows what you could come home from the bar and there's somebody who's like set up some sort of home surgery table for you.
Well, let's apply this logic to something else. Like, what if bars? After a certain point of time, so like let's say midnight, let's scientifically establish when the majority of drunk driving takes place, and then the owner of the bar, like at midnight, pulls this big crank, right, and then like a big double dare obstacle course like pops up, and like, oh, you got to go through the physical challenge to get out of the bar, and if you can pass it, you're free to go. But if you drown face first down in the slime and the waffle looking for the flag, then it wasn't meant to be.
Damn you. What? Because I couldn't remember what it was that they found the flag in.
Well, they found the flag in lots of stuff. Most of it was breakfast themed. There was the waffle, there were the pancakes.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Hey, remember last week when you were talking about, was it last week with the Home Alone thing?
Yeah. When it would be appropriate to make those references?
The Home Alone house is up for sale.
Is it? Oh,
yeah. It's a real, like, functional, people live in it. It's people who lived in it when they filmed it.
Yeah.
Still live in it, and they're selling it.
Oh. Oh, so now they're playing up the Home Alone angle.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. They want $2.4 million for it. It's like on the north side of Chicago.
Jeez.
But you could check it out. Inside picks and stuff like that at the homealonehouse.coldwellbanker.com.
That's funny. Well, yeah. I mean, do you suppose they still have like some of the props? Could they set up the traps?
I'd imagine so.
Okay, that's good. It was a big house. It was a really foreboding house, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was Kevin's favorite pizza?
Kevin's favorite pizza, no, just cheese, no pepperoni.
That's correct.
Yeah. So it was all eaten, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the cheese pizza was. The only thing that was left was mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, God. Who would eat mushrooms, honestly?
I would.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
I'd eat anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Would you?
Well, not. I mean, I realize what I'm opening myself up to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I get it.
That'd be it. Yeah. One second here. I'm gonna check something real quick.
Do that.
Okay. Cool. Okay, I'm back.
I'll be a minute. Hang on.
Okay. Cool. Take your time.
Plan on it.
It's like a performance of Stomp.
Get the fuck out of here. I mean it.
Me?
No, I don't want to buy meat off your truck.
Oh, God. Was somebody swinging by to... Oh, maybe they're fans of the show.
Why don't you just come on in then? Sure, I'd love to buy some of your meat.
Hey, Chris, can you give me some flank steak?
I didn't have my headphones in, sorry.
Oh, okay, sorry. Home invaders?
With presents.
Oh, nice. Hey, Chris, you know that I'm a sexual futurist, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I think that, you know, sex isn't just for procreation. It can be recreational too. I think that as enlightened modern people, that's not an abhorrent position to take. But given my desire for sex and technology and all of that, this kind of weirds me out. Can I tell you what weirds me out, Chris?
I would love for you to.
Okay. Now, Nobuhiro Takahashi is a Japanese graduate student at the University of Electrocommunications in, obviously, Japan. And he has invented a long-distance kissing machine, a kissing robot, if you will. Now, this device looks like a police breathalyzer with a protruding plastic tube or straw that moves around similarly to the way a tongue does. Now, the user... there are two of these, and they're plugged into a computer, and they can be networked, too. The user puts his mouth on the tube and manipulates it with his tongue, transmitting the motion to another box some distance away over the internet. Now, the kissing information can be recorded, too, and saved for later, which leads its inventor to speculate that famous people could sell their kisses on the internet to the masses, imagining your Angelina Jolies and your... Jennifer Brie Aniston's and your Justin Bieber's, so people who are popular with both both the boys and the ladies, to sell it that way. Yeah, that's weird. I don't imagine how many people would want to put their mouth on a little plastic straw. Something kind of seems to be lost in that. And so, the creator thinks that too. Now, the device is only beginning because Takahashi states the elements of a kiss include the sense of taste, the manner of breathing, and the moistness of the tongue. If we can recreate all of those, I think it will be a really powerful device. He wants to remove the human component from this. You don't need somebody there. Forget it. Just fuck this program.
We do it anyway, even if somebody's involved. You ask for what you want, you download the program.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, looking for some 62-year-old tranny.
I want some 62-year-old tranny who has recently eaten onion rings.
Yeah.
And
to shotgun marijuana smoke into my ear.
gap-toothed, junk food eating tranny.
Elderly tranny
who will do illicit drugs into my orifices.
Yeah.
That's not too much to ask.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the slippery slope, Chris. I'm not. I think it's a logical fallacy in the majority of cases. But I think that if this goes too much further, we might be looking at some shit.
Because it's the only treatment for adult onset ADD caused leukemia.
Okay, that might be of interest to me in the future.
WebMD, that's real.
Is it?
No.
Okay.
Is it seriously? Sure it is.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Let me believe that. Let me believe that in panic. Okay, you can do that. You can do that.
You want to live in that world? You're more than welcome to believe it.
Okay. All right. No. But I'm just saying, like, kissing is one thing, but the second this becomes an internet blowjob machine, that's not only a problem of productivity, that's also a problem of safety, because I don't want some kind of machine getting a little bit overzealous with my knob, with my bird. I don't want that to be the case. Because one person's like, just, we all have different limits, just kind of like, and if that programmer puts too much teeth on there, I might be minus a knob. I might be running around with a stump. Well, more stumpy than it is already, but
I don't even know. To me, this is less like companionship and more novelty.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
because the guy's trying to make money. You can have a famous person kiss you, sort of.
Well, like he states his purpose in this whole thing is being able to aid long distance relationships.
I don't know. Whenever I hear about stuff like this, I always kind of like think back on that Dr. Scholl's in-store kind of like booth thing that they had like back in the 20s or 30s or whatever that radiated your feet to tell you what shoes to buy or what insole to buy or something like that.
Like actual radiation.
Yeah, like literally like way too much for comfort.
Back in the early 20th century, there was a spate of products that had like that touted their radiation as a selling point. Like there was radioactive toothpaste that was, you know, supposed to whiten your teeth like crazy. Mm-hmm. They had to take it off of the market because too many people's jaws were melting.
They radiated women's cheeks so that like it was almost like permanent blush.
Yeah, it turns out it was a radiation burn.
Oh yeah, well. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, you know, we learn. You know, it's just kind of like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop on the cell phone thing.
What do you mean?
I just, you know, I don't believe, you know, it's gonna be in my heart of hearts, my rational mind thinks that, you know, the whole cell phones causing brain cancer thing is not real because, you know, it's non-ionizing radiation and we get more radiation from the sun and the people, you know, in Denver, you know, that high up and that close to the sun and the atmosphere, they get more radiation than most people do who work in nuclear power plants. I understand how radiation works and I know that that's not what cell phones are going to do to us. At least I think I do anyway, but I'm just worried that there's some kind of unforeseen, like we're all worried about that, but then like, oh, staring at these screens is going to make our eyes dry up and fall out like little frozen peas. You know, I'm just waiting for that to happen.
It's all going to kill you. Everything
you love will turn on you and murder you.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Why, being afraid of everything?
Yeah. Well, can I tell you about a man who's afraid of nothing, Chris?
Yeah, I read this, but go ahead.
I don't think that you did because this is a local story. Okay.
Okay. All right.
This place in Madisonville, Ohio, which is about 10 miles up the road from where I live right now. It's, you know, just a little suburb of Cincinnati. This man, he caused a moving train to screech to a halt when he refused to step off the tracks. Now, the train came to arrest a miraculous 5 feet away from him, and then he proceeded to drop trow and moon the train and the conductor. When the conductor attempted to move forward and scare him off the tracks, which, you know, I'd be scared, the man, do you know what he did, Chris? He refused to move and he proceeded to push back against the train. he was arrested, and actually he's been arrested for similar fearless acts that the articles refuse to say nearly three dozen times before.
I want to know what else he did.
I want to know what else he did too. I looked so hard. It didn't give his name and it didn't say what else, but that was that. That's a man. That's a hero. Cause you know, I admit I exist day to day with a great deal of fear, whether it's, you know, anxiety, you know, I think that fear is the human condition, whether it's, you know, reptile brain survival or, you know, this is a man who's operating without it.
Dr. Marvin, Dr. Leo Marvin.
Oh God. What's the name of that movie? What about Bob?
Gil.
I love that movie.
The person you just described as yourself kind of made me think of that movie. where's Richard Dreyfuss? Is he in town?
I don't know. Where is Richard Dreyfuss? Indeed, he's a good actor. I like him.
That was the first time that I really ever saw like Puppet Therapy.
Yeah Is that a thing still?
I think so.
Huh.
People talk with puppets. Conky.
I like the subtle under theme of Trailer Park Boys references that kind of pervades this entire show.
But no, I mean, I'm just saying, it's less about the movies or less about the TV show, more about you. Just if like you and I had some sort of quarrel or argument, or there, you know, I don't know, like you say you like wanted to talk to me about how, you know, you having to watch porn while we fell asleep as a kid, like made you feel like you wanted to, you know, just screw warm, moist rolls of toilet paper or something. I don't know.
You lost me like four steps ago.
No, I confessed a lot.
Okay. I just can't keep up.
And it was cathartic. It was purely for me.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Life's complicated, man.
It is so complicated.
Speaking of fear, like, why are... I'm going to ask you this question, but I know the answer. Why are kids so afraid of bees?
Because bees are terrifying.
They are, right?
Yeah, like, they make the noises, the colors.
You have a daughter, and like, whenever there's even a hint of a bee, she goes, ah, bee! Right?
Black and yellow.
Yeah. Stop it. It's just funny. And like, I understand it. And I wish I was just afraid of bees. Like, I remember being, you know, your daughter's
age. You were terrified of bees.
Oh, so much. Right. But it's such it's such a rational fear. Right. Like that is a thing that's right there that will hurt me.
Do you ever remember me being on the top bunk and going, bzzz?
Yeah, I do. It haunts me to this day.
Yep. I think you're going to attribute most of your fears to me.
I'm afraid of trains.
Yep.
Yeah, that's coming, a story.
It's coming for you, Cole.
It's coming for you, Cole.
Gonna get you.
My mom wondering why I was so terrified of trains. Whenever we'd hear a train in the distance, it'd be you like leaning over my
crib. She set up she tapped the room.
Well, no, she had like... Wait.
She tapped the room. She put a baby monitor in there trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
So the baby monitor there wasn't there in the first place?
No, you were like four.
I thought it was much younger. Wow.
You didn't sleep on that heartbeat blanket until you were 11.
Yeah, well, it was comforting. Heartbeat blanket. No, right? But just like, to me, that's fear, right? And fear, you know, fear is a healthy thing. Right, then it keeps us alive. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, most of the things that we would consider our, you know, our quote unquote greatest quote unquote fears are mostly anxieties about things that possibly could happen, right?
Quote unquote true,
right? You know, just kind of like to this day, like if I was, you know, outside and I heard some buzzing and I pulled down a loose piece of siding and saw that inside my house it was just full of bees. You know, I would recoil in horror. It's kind of like if you found out the person that you loved your entire life was nothing but a big ball of spiders with some skin around it. I don't know.
Is this going somewhere?
No, I'm just feeding ducks here. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, that's stupid stuff you do when you're young.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, just like when I was a kid, I really liked Secret Passages. Didn't you?
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, and just, you know, just I don't know where it came from, but I like the idea that there would be like a you know, maybe it was like the Webster House or Young Frankenstein. I'm not sure which, but I love the idea that there would be this network of, you know, hidden passageways that only I knew about. Right?
You could just sneak in there and be by yourself and read Goosebumps.
Right. And it's like the clubhouse mentality, but it's kind of like whenever I would sit down and draw like my ideal house, I would always have secret passages and helicopter pads and slides instead of stairs and pool rooms. Not like rooms to play pool in, but rooms that were actual pools, like on the third floor of a gigantic tower or something.
Kids.
I'm not sure. Am I saying something that's like universal, or am I just being weird?
No, I think you are. It's just different things. Like you designed your own little fortress of solitude with all kinds of nerderies.
Yeah.
And I designed forts.
Yeah.
From which to wage real war, not information war.
Real war, that's getting outmoded. Information war is the thing of the future. Just look what's happening with the PlayStation Network.
What do you mean?
It got hacked and like a bunch of information came out and all that.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Adults do stupid stuff too, though.
They do. Tell like what?
Yeah. I don't know, like a 51-year-old woman who tried to buy her 80-year-old dad a hooker over Easter weekend. According to the arrest affidavit, the 51-year-old named Pia Kirchberg offered an
That's not a real name.
Yeah, that's real. offered an undercover police officer $20 if she would have sex with her dad. Both Pia and her 80-year-old pops, Maurice, were charged with soliciting for prostitution. The police spokesman is quoted as saying, "Prostitution is illegal. It doesn't matter how old you are."
Really?
If we catch you trying to get a hooker, you're going to jail.
I mean, can't we just throw this guy a boner?
Right now. Just do that. I mean, it's creepy that the daughter's doing it, but maybe, you know, maybe she just got tired of, you know, maybe, I don't know. She didn't
want sex.
She didn't say,
give
just like,
me sex.
Here's $20. Just F my dad to death. Can you just F my dad until he dies?
Back in my day, we'd get a rim job for a nickel.
You still can. You just never asked.
When I was in the war, I loved the Jap hookers.
It's really kind of racist.
They dress up like schoolgirls. I smoke cigars and degrade them. Get me a Japanese schoolgirl hooker because I'm old.
Did you just like shift into Fat Bastard there for a minute?
No.
Oh, all right. Did you by any chance stab yourself in the thigh with a pencil?
It's a difficult voice to do because I'm an old man.
Professor Clump?
It used to be that she would respect me for being this old. I lost it. I lost the voice. I think we're done.
Dracula?
So Chris, what can they do? What can these people who have given us an hour of their time do?
Are you still keeping up with the YouTube?
No, I intend to, though. I'm not keeping up with the YouTube, and that's my bad. I apologize, but there's still plenty of stuff to go there and you know and look at, which is neat. You know, it's a good way to share stuff about the show, which is neato, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to make an action list for the listeners, number one is to make sure that you go to the iTunes and pop a quick review and a rating on there.
Yeah.
The second thing you need to do is tell a friend, and you can do that obviously via Facebook.
That's a good thing to do.
You could tell all of your friends at one time.
Yeah, like every single one of them.
Yep, every one of them. And a lot of people who probably really aren't your friends.
Oh, no, you just, you know.
Probably a lot of people who say that they're your friends, but then set their post to private so that when they post on my wall and talk bad about you, you don't see it.
Who's you, me?
It's all of us, man.
Social life is complicated now. It's very difficult, but it makes it easy to share a podcast. That's, you know, that's one thing.
That is the one thing. You can also go to thosedamnrosskids.com.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's nice. It's pretty. I like it. It's a good website.
There's a little forum and stuff on there. You can comment on each episode. You can click on the donate button and slide a little cash across the table.
Yeah, you know, help us. I have a new microphone right here. It's nice. I hope you like the way it sounds.
Tax-free because it's already been taxed.
So, I mean, those are all very good things that you can do. But I think that best of all, you know, you can just keep on listening. You know, if this is your first foray into TDRK, you can go back and listen to the old episodes. That's pretty cool. I like it when you do that. And I like hearing you mention us on Twitter. If you happen to be a person who toots, you know, just you know, put out a toot with the TDRK hashtag. That's, you know, that's a nice thing to do. I watch for those. If you know, have a favorite quote from the show, that, you know, I like seeing those.
Yes. Quote us.
Quote us, please, because we say lots of things that are quotable. I think
make us pop culture.
Yes. Put us in the pop culture pantheon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you can also, I mean, if you like this, you can go check out, other shows. Like if you like video games, you can try my other podcast, Stand Under the Don't Tree and Riddle Me This. I don't know if I plugged that on here. That's a video game talk show. And I'm part of a small network of podcasters from the Something Awful forums. And you can find that at goonkass.wiki.com. That's a very complicated thing, but you can check that out there. There's some really fun stuff happening over there, and we're all just kind of sharing the wealth vis-a-vis the listeners. Podcasting is it's an exciting medium. I like it. It's a good thing to be a part of. But yeah, most of all, just keep listening. That's it. I'm going to stop rambling.
Finally.
Good night. Say good night.
Good night.